Good morning. I'm Kim, and I'm an addict. And I need to first thank a God that even when I don't believe in Him, He still believes in me. I need to thank a God that showed up on October 1st, 1995, and found a junkie crackhead bitch standing on the corner of 5th and K in Washington, D.C., thinking that she was going to be the next millionaire, $1 at a time. I need to thank a God that shows up and even lets me believe that I'm doing it. I have to give a disclaimer that sometimes that I'm going to say words like, fuck, shit, ain't that a bitch? Because my story calls for that. And if I offend anybody, thank God for sponsorship. I'm going to ask y'all to just do two things for me. I want you to just say God and then have a moment of silence for the still suffering addict in the rooms. God, thank you. The reason I asked you to do that because I've been in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous like working with other people's gods still. I mean, 8 years later, I'm still kind of like was. Because there's been some changes going on in the past month. But I was struggling with a God. Because I heard you share how marvelous yours was and a wonderful relationship you had. I came in the rooms 8 years lying. Because my relationship with a higher power wasn't like that. That's why I say that God lets me think I'm doing some shit. He lets me think that I'm running some shit. And about a month ago, I came to understand that I don't run nothing. I got into an 11th step last year, my sponsor, and I've been floundering in it, trying to control it. Yeah. Trying to do my thing, calling it His will. And it comes a point where you can no longer fake it till you make it. And I was in so much fucking pain. And I was so tired of doing the same damn thing and getting the same results. I was so tired of living the way I was living. It ain't like I was sleeping or controlling with other people. I was controlling the hell out of me and going crazy in the process. I'm sharing about today. I'm talking about I just had to go in the bathroom and tell God, you do it. Because if I do it, it's going to get fucked up again. And then I'm going to blame you. Because I'm not taking responsibility. I'm not going to do it. I never have. My sponsor been telling me to write and read and, you know, work shit. And I've been wanting to sit and play. And you know, I got school. You know, God restored me. I'm going to share who I am. I got to Narcotics Anonymous not even knowing who I was. I didn't know if I was a man or a woman. Didn't give a fuck if I was a man or a woman. It really didn't matter. You just respect who showed up that day. I got to Narcotics Anonymous manipulating people and controlling folks. See, I followed a man in here. I wasn't trying to stay clean. I just wanted him to get clean and pay rent. That's what I wanted. I want to be responsible for me. Fuck that. I wanted somebody else. I've always wanted somebody else to do it. When I got sponsorship, I asked my sponsor, take control of my life. Do it. I don't want it. I came in a car and I was not even wanting myself. I came in here trying not wanting me and trying to give it to you. I was always trying to give myself to somebody. And after I gave myself to you, then you had some things to do. You really did. You ain't know it when you got there, but you had some shit to do. We was just talking about how relationships bring up control issues. And it ain't all about who I sleep with that my control issues show up. It shows up in sponsorship. It shows up in friendship. It shows up in fuckships. It just shows up. It shows up by myself. When they asked me to do this workshop, I said, control issues. And I told somebody, well, I'm going to do control issues. And she said, you like that? I told another lady that I'm going to do control issues. She told me, ooh, they know you. What the fuck is that? I tell myself that I'm easygoing. I really do. Y'all need to understand, I tell myself that I'm easy to get along with. And I prayed, and I'm easy to get along with when you do what the hell I want you to do. I'm easy going when it's going my way. I ain't got no problem with you as long as you take instructions well. But I want to sit up and tell, because denial has been my best friend for as long as I can remember. And denial is just telling myself a lie till I believe it. And then I can tell you the lie, and it looks like the truth. I've lived in denial so long about situations in my life that, shit. I got to Narcotics Anonymous, and I was just, truth was a foreign concept to me. Being honest was something I had never done. It wasn't about being honest while I was standing on the corner trying to get your money, trying to turn a trick at you, trying to do whatever I had to do. Sucking all them nameless faces didn't call for honesty. It called for skill, goddammit. Didn't call for me to tell you. I didn't even know who I was. I was Carmen, Jeanette, Lucia, whoever the fuck you wanted. It didn't call for me to be honest, especially with myself. I didn't even know I was an addict until, oh, Jesus Christ, like, I know I had to be here like 6-7 months waiting for that man to stay clean. I had to have been here before I sat here and I heard this reading. And why are we here? And it says, through our inability to accept personal responsibility, we were actually creating our own problems. I understand that the first step says, with some of us, unmanageability was the first thing we seen. It took me 6 months to realize I was in a shelter. It took me 6 months to realize that my life was unmanageable, that I had came in here manipulating, and through my manipulation, I'd always fucked up myself. Through my choices, I'd always chose to do the wrong thing for the wrong reason at the right time to get fucked up. All my life, it was a pattern. My resentment, let me show y'all. I got a whole resentment list full of, you gonna do what the fuck I want you to do. My 8-step looked like, well, you didn't do. And you didn't do this. Not about what I did. It's you didn't do, and then I did. That's how it went. It went, you ain't do this, so I fucked him. Good. You supposed to be my girlfriend. You should have gave me that $20, or I wouldn't have had trick with your man. I'm talking about getting to the exact nature that no matter why I did it, it was wrong. I don't know, give a fuck what you did. I did what I did. Getting honest, that shit fucks me up. Coming here and telling y'all that I've been working on who I am. Being all right with it, being a transgender woman in a society that don't necessarily care for me. But first I had to come to believe that it was possible for me to care for myself. It really didn't take you to care for me. It took me to care enough to get in touch with a higher power that even though I do what I do and I am who I am, he loves me yet and still. Thank God for sponsorship, because I've been left on my own. My idea of sponsorship was, sweetie, help me pay a bill. Be a regular. Just be a regular. Show up every Thursday. Take care of business. That was my sponsorship for years. I don't want to tell y'all people that prostitution and sucking dick and all that crazy shit I did, I thought was a career move. I want to tell you that the disease moved in and told me that working at the hospital, they pay too motherfucking slow. So I need to get. Because I got to use right now. I can't wait till Friday. Fuck that shit. Friday didn't come often enough. If it was Friday every day, I'd have been a happy bitch. I wouldn't be here. I can't wait until you sign a check. I got to get what I got to get right now. That shit happens in recovery today because I will settle for less all the time trying to form it into what I think it ought to be. I try to shape men, sponsees, sponsor, friends, acquaintances, people on the motherfucking street I don't know. I sit on the bus and judge my ass off. You should be doing more with your life. I'm talking about controlling motherfuckers that don't even give a fuck about me. They ain't never heard of a Kim. People who don't speak the language get on the bus speaking Spanish, and I go crazy. Speak English, motherfucker, you hear? Losing my damn mind trying to control everybody else and not allowing the power that brought me here, that created me, that saved my ass from myself to help me through you people. Because I can't come in this room and tell y'all that I'm having an issue with God because I think he's out to get me. Well. I think he sets me up. He shows me a glimmer of the good and then says, bitch, bye-bye. And I've been thinking this shit for over 30 years. My mother died when I was 11 and a half years old. And 3 months before that she died, her and my father had finally came back together. They had never been together in my entire life. They separated when she was 7 months pregnant with me. And I finally had that Donna Reed motherfucking household. I had a mama at home and a daddy at work. My life was perfect. And then she died. Ain't that a bitch? Begin a series of living for this relative and that relative and manipulating this relative to move with that one. And you ain't give me what I want here, so I go stay with my brother. And then when his wife get on my nerve, I go stay over here with daddy. And his wife get on his new wife, because I don't like her. She ain't my mama. How's she going to tell me what the fuck to do? Fuck that bitch. But I ain't had the courage to say that, so I became her best friend, her child. I became what she wanted me to be. I do what you want me to do to control you. I slip that shit in the back door. I humbly control your ass. I can't be honest and say, will you give me this? So I play real innocent. Oh. I wish I had. I can't come straight off the break and say, look, I need you to get daddy to hook this shit up. or you need to give me some money, or bitch, I don't feel like washing dishes today. And that ain't weed you smell. Those are old cigarettes. That's how I do my shit. I slip it in. I ain't straight off the break gonna let you know that I'm fucking you. Because a lot of times I don't know it. The Nile is deep. Y'all need to know it ain't a river in Egypt. It lives in my house. It vacations with me to Ocean City. It's standing here. It's only through God, Narcotics Anonymous, to help you people, sponsorship and step work that shit I hate. Because I ain't going to stand and lie to you and tell you I love step work. I do love the basic text. I ain't going to lie. I do love that book. But I don't like all that writing and shit. That's not my ideal of entertainment. That's not. It just ain't. Shit. Sitting there looking at me all day ain't fun. I can go to the meeting and look at y'all. I got to go to work. I'm too busy. I'm in school. God, let me share with you how crazy I've been. About 2.5 years ago, I finally got honest and told some people that I hadn't graduated from high school. And I went and got a GED. Now listen, I went. And immediately after that, God arranged and situated and put me in college absolutely free. I got like a 3.35 grade average, I'm like, I'll be 48 years next month, and I'm telling myself that I did it. I got promoted on my job 2 months ago. This is my second promotion. Finally got the little cubicle with my own voicemail. Hello, this is Kim. I'm working every day as a woman. I did it. I made them people give me a raise. I made them work with my schedule so I could go to school on the weekends, and I made them do this, and I made them do that. I got so pissed off at God, I wanted to know, well, God, when you going to start doing something? Because I've been working awful hard here, and I just don't see. I don't get it. I mean, I'm studying and shit. You're supposed to, like, talk to the teacher and just give me a fucking A. I got a sponsor talking about write. I'm writing papers, write. I write at work, write. Fuck that. Read. God damn, I'm reading 3 books a week I don't want to look at. I don't want to look at that. Those full-time classes. Retarded. Not understanding that there's a God. I had to call my sponsor. Thank you, God, for sponsorship. I had to call my sponsor because I was so bound up in me. So wrapped up in me that I couldn't see. I couldn't see what a higher power was doing. I couldn't see that when I wasn't able to work, he paid the rent. I couldn't see that when my refrigerator is empty, somebody took me out to dinner. I couldn't see that he gave me some credit cards, even though I talk about them bad, but I ain't naked. I ain't see that he gave me credit, because when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I went to JCPenney's, filled out an application, they asked me, they sent me a letter and said, who the fuck are you? How the fuck you going to be 42 and we ain't never heard of you? Ain't never had nothing. Ooh, that's some sad shit. But a couple of weeks ago, I was in a meeting and I was reading while we're here. And I began to, in the midst of my pain, I began to understand what it says here in the last line. It says, it can, however, be arrested. At some point, recovery is responsible. Recovery is possible. The readings are amazing. And clarity comes when it's needed. Because my sponsor shared with me how things had changed since I got out that shelter. And people began to share with me that you've come a long way from 5th and K. Because two weeks before then, I was standing on a corner in Columbus, Ohio. Same condition. But I heard about a Million Man March in Washington, D.C., October the 16th, 1995. My girlfriend was driving down. I ain't had money to get hit there. I know that God allowed me to hit the bottom. I used to say he set me up in the bottom, but God allows me to do just what the hell I want to do. And then he's there to pick up the pieces. When I begin to ask him, will you fix this for me? Because I'm tired of trying to glue it together with my no super glue. I'm tired of trying to hold every area of my life intact and everything, dropping every ball. Ain't nothing getting done. My biggest control issue is with me. It don't really have a lot to do with y'all. I mean, it kind of spills over on some folks. I love that. I looked at the thing and it said, control issue, question mark. So I was going to tell you I ain't had none and share about how perfect I am. But then my sponsor sat in the front row. Hate that shit. Hate that shit. I was so enthused, I just had to tell my sponsor I was sharing, but I'd rather he slept. Because I know he needs some rest. I love you. Control. Oh, Lord. What time is it? Compliments, good. I'm going to share some good shit. Some real good shit. Today, I'm coming to believe in a higher power, and I need to let you know that I'm coming to believe every day. I want to take the steps and make it an event and, you know, press release and then move on to the next step and fuck the previous steps. But my sponsor took me back to the third step, but I had to take myself back to the second step. Because the simple fact, if I could not trust my higher power, I could not trust you. And when I couldn't trust you, that's why I came in the room sharing that bullshit. Me and God are twins. My relationship with him was just fucking wonderful. And I was dying on the inside, sitting in the room to Narcotics Anonymous, sponsoring people, being sponsored, doing step work, and not connected with a higher power. I want y'all to know I made a decision today that I'm just going to connect today. And I'll let tomorrow take care of his goddamn self. I know I connected today because I was able to stand up here and tell y'all the truth. I was able to tell y'all that I'm a chick with a dick and I'm all right with it. I was able to tell y'all that I ain't always perfect, even though I try to perpetrate that I am. I was able to tell y'all that regardless of your opinion of me, I'm beginning to hold myself in high esteem. Thanks to Narcotics Anonymous, sponsorship, God who is ever present. When I mention his name, it ushers me into his presence. I'm believing that. I'm holding on to that. I have to hold on to that. I ain't getting into the church thing, the organized religion, falling on the floor with speaking in tongues and all that shit. I've done all that. They put oil on me. I got greasy. Didn't do nothing. I got the fuck up and smoked crack. I'm holding on to a God that brought me. The third step said he brought me here. And he will keep me if I allow him to. Through my control issues, through my slick shit, God is still ever present. I want to say to the newcomer, if you're at this convention, may what you hear in these rooms fuck up all your reservations. I want to thank y'all for allowing me to share.
Thanks for sharing, Kim. Thank you. I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Teresa.
Hi, family. My name is Teresa, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Teresa.
Listen, I thought I had stumbled into the relationship workshop this morning with so many faces, but you know what? There ain't no strangers out there. It's just friends I've never met. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. If this is your first convention, welcome, welcome, welcome. Give yourself a hand. This is truly incredible. This is truly phenomenal. Listen, let me tell you something. What stuck in my mind when I came into these rooms is for the first time in man's entire history, a proven way has been found. And it's known as Narcotics Anonymous, and it's available to us all. It's free. Free. It didn't cost a dime. Nothing but your pain. And you can get it refunded at any time. If you're not happy about your recovery, hey, think about how you got here. Think about how it was out there on the street when you answered to the drug people, when you answered to the streets themselves, when you answered to the disease of addiction. So count yourself blessed. Not lucky, but blessed, because it's not by any coincidence that you're sitting in these seats. Let's have a moment of silence, because we have got to pay homage to the very one that brought us here, and that's the God of our understanding. Thank you. Welcome to the greatest show on earth, Narcotics Anonymous. We don't censor, rule, dictate, mandate, control, force anybody to do anything. We have long since left those archaic ways, and we have resorted to allowing our steps and our program to put the newcomer in their place and the old timer to stay in check. I'd like to thank, first of all, Kim. Kim, I thank you. I saw you last year, and I said, oh, I like her. You know, and I said to myself when I walked in this meeting, that it's 10:30 in the morning, what the hell are all y'all doing up so early? You know what I mean? I looked in here, I said, wait a minute. I just knew in my heart, I said, oh, this is going to be one of those workshops. It's early, folks still in bed. You know, I saw them shaking a tail feather and everything last night and enjoying themselves and fellowshipping to be sure they're not going to be looking for no recovery early this morning. One point, I started to tell the lady to close the door. Wait a minute, it's probably an overflow from the room next door. And then I said to myself, to be sure, folk ain't having control issues. But anyway, welcome again. I don't have a control issue. I was just riding here last night, and I just decided that I would tell my granddaughter, you get in that lane. Drive over there. Speed up. Slow down. Turn. Go ahead. Pull to the side. That is not control. Those are subtle commands. So let's not get it twisted. When I left the home, I told my husband, be sure you do this. Be sure you do that. Be sure you put gas in the car. Be sure you don't go to the bank. Don't take the money from that part. Don't do that. Don't do this. Subtle commands. Nothing in the line of control. So how I come to be in this workshop, and let me tell you something, I love Ocean City. Ocean City Convention has been one of the conventions that I have honored and attended for years in my recovery. And I would do anything that they would ask me to do. In fact, I'm going to tell you, I took it a step further. I called them. I said, y'all got anything for me to do? You need any help? That's right. Then it came up with this. Must be some mistake. See, it wasn't them. It was God, because it wasn't that many workshops left. I know I didn't want to stand my hind parts up after 12 last night. So what I said was, okay, I'll take it 10:30. People ain't hardly woke. Then people getting ready to go and make their mind to go and get lunch and do and stuff like that. So I'll go ahead and it'll be safe, because I like those particular workshops where you don't have to be politically correct. You don't have to be intellectual. You don't have to be but so spiritual. You can come in and unmask and unveil what's going on with you. They had me in a convention not too long ago telling me something, will the real you please stand up? I said, who in the hell named something like that? So the bottom line is, well, we're still into mass. We're still into the disease of addiction. We're still into recovering from this illness. And believe me, this is an illness. This is a disease. You'll never get well. Keep coming back. If you fall off the wagon or whatever you do, keep coming back. You're welcome. We will love you continuously until you love yourself. That does not mean that it's okay for you to continue using and using and using. One of those times, one of two things can happen. You know, you might end up dead, might end up in jails and institutions. You know, you might end up in, quote unquote, don't take it wrong, church, on the religious zeal. And that's okay, too, if that's where you want to be, if that's where your process is taking you. But for this addict, I'm from prisons and institutions. I had an allergic reaction. One day I broke out in jails, institutions, and death, and here I am. Here I am. I'm not in denial about a thing. When I came into this meeting this morning, my control issue said, well, okay, what do you want to do, Teresa? Don't mess around and get real with them. Carry them into some step work. Carry them into some service work. Carry them over here into some feelings. Carry them into some traditions. Tell them about how the World Service Office is fucking up there. You see what I'm saying? Oh, I had millions of areas I wanted to go in because, you know, we can hide behind topics. You see what I'm saying? I could tell you some things. Oh, I want to just, look, glorify into the stuff that I know about Narcotics Anonymous. I want to tell you the dirt. You see what I'm saying? I want to get that stuff off of me because, look, when you look at me, I can take the focus. When you look at that, I can take the focus off of me and put it over there. And then you'll never know what my control issue is or that I even have one. You might think, oh, she talks. You know what she's talking about. But all along, here it is. There's a subtle command because I'm telling you not to think about me. I'm telling you where to carry your mind to. And I'm giving you something juicy enough to carry your mind in that direction where you're going to stay over there. You'll never know me. You'll forget about my ass when you walked your ass out the door. All you'll do is buy the fucking tape. And then once you buy it, you'll say, well, okay, that's good. Oh, And then that'll be the end of our relationship. Oh, I remember her. Oh, I heard her speak. So the bottom line is, I'm choosing through the God of my understanding to tell you about Teresa. I've been controlled all my life. Control is just nothing that just popped up on the horizon. I had the best teachers in the world. Society. You know, the control issue started from parents. The control issue started from relationships. The control issue started from family ships, courtships, ships. And as she says, shit ships. That's where it came from. And because I was under such control, it started way back when with the person that molested me. You know, I was in control for a long time. I was victim. See, my legacy from being victimized gave me the control issues that I have today. And I'll acknowledge and I'll accept them. You know, I'm going to walk away with my groceries in the bag. It's okay. But it's important to me that I let you know where they came from. In controlling and being a victim way back when, that put me on a trail in life, whereas I was always attracted to people who had control issues. I call them people who could supervise well, people who could dominate, domineering people, people who nobody would fuck with. I like those kind of people because those kind of people kept others off of me. They kept me protected in life. Those type of things. Little did I know that these were the issues that would screw me up down the road. See, because I was spoiled, I come from a one-parent family. I had a mother that did everything for me. She was at my beck and call. She was at my beck and call morning, noon, and night. She bought me the best things. She did all she could do. But see, the thing about that was, that controlled me. See, because sometimes when you think you're in control, you ain't in control. You're being controlled. You're under control. See, and you got to look at that thing. Control is what? Authority, power. Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it make you feel good. Sometimes it want to make you scratch. You see what I'm saying? Control feel good, especially when you can control the man or the woman that you with. Or the situation itself. Sometimes that thing feel good. I don't believe it's a bad thing all the time. Do you? I don't believe it. You see what I'm saying? There's something about it that has a delicious aroma and effect. You know, it's something that makes you shiver. You know, I mean, it's all right. I mean, it's power. It's one of those points where you're closest to God as you can possibly get. Right on the same line. And that's the deception behind the whole thing. That is the control that I'm talking about that's so powerful in the grips and the disease of addiction. See, let me tell you one thing. If you heard one stir, you heard them fucking all. Because we are not unique. We're in the rooms of whores, pimps, pushers, prostitutes, liars, murderers, thieves, robbers, recovering. Yeah. Recovering. Wow. We're recovering people. You know, I have a lady that's close to my heart from my area. I remember she told me that I said that to her a long time ago. Made that statement. Were you in the room of so-and-so and so? She took that thing to heart. She said because one of the reasons, because that was her I was talking about. She was trying to get past those things. But see, one thing I know is if you ever forget where you come from, you're going to be doomed to return. You don't have to take my word for it. Take it for face value. Look at the people that do certain things and come back in the rooms and go back out and come back in, come back out. We need a damn wake-up call. I need to step on some toes. You see what I'm saying? If you don't want your toes stepped on, get them out the aisle. You in that room of improvement, which is the biggest room in the world in Narcotics Anonymous. You don't have to be perfect here. You don't have to be a big I or a little you. Of course, they're not supposed to exist. Of course, none of us think we're better than the other. See what I'm saying? Diversity is our strength. We all draw from the same well, but we might come from different rivers. We might be different tributaries. We might be black, white, Puerto Rican, Hispanic, I don't know what, from wherever. But the bottom line is recovery is the common denominator. And it's no mistake that everybody that's sitting in here, flooding this room, taking these chairs and filling them all up, there's no mistake about that. You're where you're supposed to be right now, right here, this moment. See, because I'm not confused about one thing. Somebody is going to get the message out of this workshop. Somebody's life is going to be saved today. See, because my higher power has turned me around when I allow him to, and that's most of the time. The other times, it's me and I fall on my face, which is why I acknowledged him the moment I came in here. But sometime, I have to step back and just watch God do what he needs to do. This morning, I had a visit from two demons. My recovery woke me up bright and early. Of course, my irresponsibility and the part of my control that I left unattended told me that I would have a hotel room when I got here. Y'all done booked up every damn thing. And that's a good thing. And that's a good thing because you're coming here for your medicine. You done booked up everything. I went to the hotel. The man told me, say, well, I can give you a place for the night. You know, and here I go in my over fantasized mind. I said, that's what they did. They provided a room and it was in the inn. This is another fellowship I'm talking about. And I said to myself, I got that particular room. And for that good ass price. Because other people was trying to charge me $135. I said, well, come on now. I don't even look like $135. Come on. You know better than that. Those were the places that there was vacancy on there. And I thought I was getting a step up on the people that was coming on Saturday. But let me tell you something. I went in that room and I got up this morning. You know, I suffer from other illnesses. And thanks to God that I'm able to manage because I can't control those illnesses. I have to depend on him. See, he's so a part of my story that there's nothing that I can do that does not include him. See, because let me tell you something. By merit, I should be dead. And a whole lot of y'all out there with me should be dead. We didn't
didn't do nothing that was so glamorous and so glorious and so high and mighty to get seated in a seat of Narcotics Anonymous. That was a gift. It was by grace and mercy. We want to think that we was hustlers and big timers when we was out there telling them lies before you do a four-step tumble on how you was a kingpin and shit. And then when you get down to the bottom of the stir and tell the truth, you know darn well that you was doing backs, as they say, on that other drug. Because let me tell you something, I ain't no crackhead. And y'all haven't cornered the market on recovery. Because let me tell you something, I was here before a lot of you got here, and I was doing something different. But see, today, they used to tell me, well, Teresa, don't name a lot of drugs, because sure as you born, somebody going to be sitting in that audience, and you know what? They're going to say, well, that wasn't my story. I wasn't that bad. You're going to judge. I already know that. See, because the disease is going to take care of the center point of focus, which is your mind. Why would you think that the disease wouldn't attack you nowhere else? It ain't got no reason to get in your kidney. Your kidney ain't doing it thinking. It ain't got no reason to get in your liver. You see what I'm saying? It might end up there somewhere in the line you keep using. But it's going to station itself right here in the mind. See, the brain is the strong focal point. Why wouldn't a disease called addiction hide in between your ears in the brain up under your medulla oblongata? I didn't think I knew that, did ya? Hey. See what I'm saying? It's got to be back there because you know what? It waits for the drug to eat up your endorphins, your good feeling things up in the back of your head. So it can take charge because you know what? Once that does happen and it does eat up those essential vitamins and things that line in that head, it takes over just like a subtle enemy. Whoosh, and then you gone. You under the spell of the disease of addiction. Ain't no coming back. See what I'm saying? The only way that I was able to get back was through the program of Narcotics Anonymous, where God had me come in one day. You see what I'm saying? That moment of clarity, everybody got not only a story, but they got a moment of clarity. You know that part that tells you, wait a minute, maybe it's not the drugs. You know how we all think we got a drug problem in the beginning? Must be them damn drugs. Couldn't have been nothing else. Them drugs, that's what made my wife leave me, my husband leave me. That's what made me steal the kids' stuff at Christmas time. That's what made me write the check. That's what made me steal from mama, daddy, sister, or brother. It was the drugs. Addicts have to have something to blame. Give an addict food, water, and something to blame, and he's on. You have to have something to blame. That's a part of the program. But once that happens, and then you come in and you get that moment of clarity. For me, the last day of my using was my moment of clarity. Thank God for that. I had been on a mission for 2 weeks at that point. You know, and that was numerous missions. But this last mission is something special. Think about it. The last time you use it, something special about that. It's something that happens that you never forget. It's something that kicks you across the borderline of addiction, that kicks you on the football field of recovery. It's something about that line of clarity that's breathtaking, life-stopping. Because that's where your old self dies off and your new self begins. See what I'm saying? For me, that moment of clarity, me and a fellow addict was at his house. He had inherited this house through his parents' death. You know, when I use the word inheritance, it would make you think that he had a lot of money. But I'm just kicking that word around for no apparent person purpose, just to get to some shit. But see, what happened was we were using. His lights was off. His water was off. I would want you to think that we just had a romantic atmosphere. But we were without public utilities. That's it. I can't tell you no lie. Homeboy had a bucket of water he had borrowed from next door. Mm-hmm. And we had a couple of candles that we had got from next door. Didn't even have the money to go to the store to get the little 10-cent candle then. Had them candles lit all over the place. Like I said, I don't want to give you a visage and make you think that it was one of those romantic atmospheres. It was just one of those do or die situations. And I was sitting there getting high and the daggone candlelight, and I was using my drug of choice intravenously. He and I were, we older, we come from the junkie area, the era of junkies. See what I'm saying? Because don't nothing bring a doggone convention together more than the fact of that generation gap being closed in. So y'all youngsters ain't doing nothing. I ain't already done. See, because you ain't wearing no clothes, I ain't already woke. But I got one thing I can throw in there. I didn't wear nothing hanging off my hind parts. It was nothing appealing to me about catching cold in my ass. Ain't that right, granddaughter? But keep in mind one thing, the hemlines go up and they come down. The fashions go in and they go out. Just because I was back doing continental pants and Converse shoes doesn't mean anything. All you need to know is they make that shit at a factory and put labels on them with their names on them and rip you off for your money. But that's another story, because see, I ain't trying to get off of control issues, because I be done got sidetracked and carried you somewhere else with me and stroked your mind until you got there. That's how strong the disease is in me. And if you haven't realized by now, yes, when I was in the street, I was a con player. I had a way with words. I didn't even know it. That dope made me do it. It was the drugs that made me do it. Now here I am today. Evidently, that must be who I am. I'm supposed to be out here talking and telling a story and telling you all about this beautiful thing called recovery, because I don't have to tell you who got the dope. I don't have to send you to a part of town where you can score. I'm in the part of town where you can score right now the hit of your life. Yay. It's called life. Yay. It's called recovery. You're in the right place. But anyway, as I tell you more about that moment of clarity, what happened was I was sitting there using, because that's what I did best at that time. That was my profession. Using. I put emphasis on that because y'all know what I'm talking about, because y'all were using. So the bottom line is, as I was doing what I did, practicing it the way I practice it, it dawned on me, because I was a mess. My arms were bloody. My clothes were old. My body was giving off odors that were foreign to me, that I know they weren't mine. There was a perfume in the air that I couldn't claim. But as I did more research, I found out it was me. And I told the fella, I said, look, I'm tired of this way of life. You know, that pain is so great at that moment of clarity. You have dealt with all the pain you possibly can. See, and that moment of clarity is so unique and different. That's why you never forget it. And I told him, I said, I'm tired of this. I got to get out of this. I was on parole. You see what I'm saying? I had a job and everything. I had been missing in action. Nobody had called in. You know, when we say mission, we mean mission impossible. And when I had done those things and told him what I told him, he said, well, you got control over that. See, that was one of the days that control meant something to me, that word control. He said, because look at me. I can stop when I want to. You can do it. You can stop. And you know what I said? I said, well, if I got so much control and you got so much control, is that why we sitting in the dark? Is that why we getting water out this bucket and not this spigot? I know I had went to animal level, but I know I wasn't fucking crazy. I know I still should have been able to walk over to that spigot and turn it on. I should have been able to flip that light switch. I hadn't been out in the ravines that long in the wild. When I saw that, and he didn't have an answer for that, I knew it was time to go. So after the hot boys brought the car back, because that was, you know, I had sunk to that level, because they would bring the car back, and let me tell you something. They know you mad. Know you done did the shit up as soon as they left. When they come back after 3-4 days, there's something about that. I haven't figured that one out yet. Give me some time. When they came back, say, I know you're mad, but look here, this is for your time, and he give you some more. And you know you're not going to go home with it, because the urgency of using tells you you got to use it right then. My mind tripped me so many times, because One of my reasons for using, well, you got to make sure it's real. You got to make sure it's not the one with the cut. You got to make sure it's this. You got to make sure it's that. You might as well do a little teeny bit now, because when you go home, it's going to be a while before you can get past the people in the household and use what you got to use. See, the mind keep racing. The mind keep doing things. The mind keep telling you things. See, ain't that something? And then when the mind be still and you come up and recover, you can't even think to do a step sometime. You see what I'm saying? But that mind is active on activator or something when it's into ways and means. You know what I'm talking about. I see it on your face. You can't fool me. One junkie can't hide from another one. See, that's how we're able to help each other stay clean, because we know each other. They haven't researched it enough out there to try to tell us what the cure is for addiction. They can send people to the moon and shit, but they ain't spending no money on trying to cure no addiction. Too much money involved. People into addiction that work in jails, hospitals, treatment centers, they have no field day. The government don't want to take all them out of work. Next year, this time, it's going to be a lot more new addicts sitting up in here, and you better move on to the next level if you stay. God help you if you stay. God forbid if you leave. There's new territory to conquer. Maybe one day, I don't believe in my lifetime, but who am I? Maybe there will be a cure. But anything you see in a country like we live in today that's producing revenue, you can forget that shit. We ain't gonna be around. So while we be around, we might as well do something with our time. I got this saying that I say in my area. I tell the kids, well, I call the kids the new people in recovery. When I'm sharing and I'm talking and something like that, because I'm the type of addict that I share what I need to share. You see what I'm saying? And I was born and raised into Narcotics Anonymous to the point where I share what affects my recovery. I don't wait to see if you're going to look to see if my collar down or how I look or is my dress short or whatever the case may be, because, you know, sometimes it's sharing is risky. We want to talk about some things, and we want to tell some things, but we got so many elements that be in the way sometimes. We got so many components to it. We scared. We already scared. We don't trust nobody. Ain't trustworthy worth a damn ourselves, and don't trust a soul. Because it's something about that kind of behavior. You know, that covers the disease of addiction. It comes with the territory. You don't trust nobody when you walk up in here. After what you've been through, you be a fool. You got to see some more evidence. You got to do some more research. You got to know about this program and the steps and the traditions and so forth and so on. And you'll learn about the traditions before them steps sink in. Because you're going to be visual before you become spiritual. You're going to be looking to see if people doing what they're supposed to be doing. And you won't even know that you're working those traditions. They said we do them long before we understand them, don't they? See, a newcomer going to sit down and be able to pinpoint some shit an old timer doing before somebody with seasoned recovery might do it. You ain't crazy. We are some of the most brilliant people in the world. Look how we have mastered making money for ways and means. Look how we've done that. That baffled the hell out of scientists. Why you think we still under the microscope? They study us. They fear us. That's why they want to lock us up. They want to lock us up more. They want to give us treatment. And then the insurance companies want to pull out state. They want to pull out. They don't want to give you no insurance for this shit no more. They don't want to see you in a... Look, here on my control issue. The other day, I had a sponsee. She called me and she told me, she said, look, I'm ready. I've had enough. She was on the porch. She couldn't move. She was geeking, as they say. You know these new words y'all got with the new drug movement. I don't know nothing about no fucking geeking. She was geeking. And when I went to get her, she was all drawn up. And then she moved into the bedroom with whoever she was talking to that wasn't there. And I waited and I got her up out of there. I said, well, I'm not doing this shit alone, because I'm of age and recovered and know that you do a 12-step call with somebody else. But she did call. I didn't go running around there to be Rescue Ranger. I got a few faculties about me. So when I went and got her, I took her to a treatment facility, I'm not gonna name it because, you know, I don't want to mess with the tradition police in here because I know it's some in here. I'm one myself. You pull your shift. But anyway, as that happened, I took her to the hospital, and when I got her there, of course, they had a million questions, and she was sitting all down, and look, she had me so baffled, I thought somebody was sitting on the long couch with us, because she went to looking around. See, now I know what y'all mean when y'all talking about you looking in the rug for the lip and all that old stuff. I don't know nothing about that. Tell her I'm looking in the rug. And catnip and all this old kind of, all these words are new to me. I'm old school. And she was sitting down there, and you know, and she was odd, and her leg rose all up, and I thought she was trying to, I said, child, sit down. For God's sakes. I said to myself, I thank God I came into Narcotics Anonymous when I did. Ain't no way in the world I would have been able to do that. Okay, she got the attention stand down here for 5 minutes. I like this child. She was real good up here. She was nervous. I told her, girl, hog that mic. Bite it. But anyway, when she did do that, I was there and the lady want to ask her, I don't know if any of you been in treatment, but they ask you 1,000 questions and you all hop. You don't know what the hell they talking about. This lady had pages and pages. I just cut right up. Well, why is that important? I said, if she was in any shape to answer these questions, she'd have checked her damn self in. She wouldn't need me. So I told her, I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. You know, she said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll sign this and she can get some outpatient help. I said, do you see this child sitting on the couch? Do she look like outpatient help would help her? She look like she need to be locked up in the nurse. Whatever. So finally she came over and she, I had got upset by then. She said, ma'am, you need to calm down. I said, yeah. I had been with her all that day. Some kind of way we was 4 hours later and we was on the first page of the questions. So next thing I know, somebody else came in because you know what? Yeah, most addicts ain't got no insurance. See, even though the insurance wanted to pull out, you got enough for about 3-4 days now. But she messed around and didn't have any, so here go the other indigent folk coming in. You know, your little groups and organizations coming in right quick to the rescue. So then he said, well, I tell you what. You take her and bring her. I said, I'd be damned if I'm walking out this hospital with this girl. I said, you all will take full responsibility because the way they treat addicts now that's coming in off the street, I wouldn't treat a dog that way. They hide behind their paperwork and they hide behind their multiple dollars and their federations and foundations and things like that. And it's hard as hell and we are dying on the street. So yeah, I had some control that day. And I told her, I said, I'm not going to be responsible if something happened to this child. Your responsibility is on you. I have seen you deny her medical treatment. So I got that over and used my, you know. They took her on to the hospital. Kept her for a couple of days. And you know what? The very element that she used had done something to her heart. And her heart EKG was erratic and irregular, and they kept her for about 3 days. She was out of her mind. And then after the 3 days were over, they came and took her back to the hospital. We went back to the paperwork that we had started, finished it, and they kept her for 3 or 4 more days. Now let me tell you something. I know that got off the track for a moment, but I just wanted to leave you something to think about, because it's not playing out there anymore. Things are much, much, much different. I'm not trying to scare you, but your ass better be scared. See? Because you got a choice. You're going to go out there with that element out there that's waiting for you, or you going to come in here with controlling ass Teresa and listen to what she got to say, because she's going to tell you the truth. And then I'll let you choose between the lesser of the two evils. Listen, I hope I hit on some things for you. See, because somebody got to tell the truth. Now, I don't don't know why God has put me in this predicament, or I'm not going to say predicament, has blessed me for to be up here behind this podium telling you some things. But apparently he has, because he's sending a message. Because sometimes he will put the most powerful message in the most ordinary container. See, because I ain't all that. You see what I'm saying? I ain't all that. I mean, I'm not the president, and I'm not all this and all that. I'm just an addict, just like you, spared by grace and mercy. See, the doggone step's going to take care of my control issues. But God's going to leave me with some of them to do what I need to do. And he's going to let me know which ones is right and which ones are wrong. So I'm going to depend on him. I'm not going to trust my perception, your perception. I'm going to just let a loving God come in, rest, rule, and abide, and live in this little spirit called Teresa. So if you're new, keep coming back. Keep coming back. Keep the focus on you. Get a sponsor. Work the steps. Go to meetings. Do 90 and 90, because there's something about 90 and 90 that raised that high where you can take a look at what's going on around you. It's a spiritual movement that happens in that process. Whatever you do, just don't use. Get your sponsor, and most of all, get you a God of your own understanding. And I promise you, things will get better. My name's Teresa. Thanks for letting me share.